Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Can't be too rough on the guy. After his re-election as governor, he was asked if he had a mandate. He said, hell no, I'm straight. I'm straight. I'll give you time to think that one through. You got it?
So, like, the unfunniest jokes ever. That was from, I never watched those things. I never watched the White House Correspondents' Dinner because it's just like boring. It's a bunch of like boring people that I just don't care about. And they get together to like applaud themselves. That's all it is. Welcome to the program. We don't do that because we hate everybody here. Welcome to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, with you. It's a Monday. I'm in a weird mood and it's a weird day. I don't know how to describe it. And I was it's like crazy allergy season. So, and I accidentally got a little too much sun over the weekend with everything. So if I look weird, it's because of that. Okay, stop. I'm one person. All right. So we're going to get into everything that happened over the weekend. It wasn't really a lot that happened over the weekend. There were a couple of things to follow that I think, you know, kind of keep an eye on. We're going to discuss all of that. Oh, one thing happening right now, though. Do I have this? I was trying so hard not to start with this, the Hunter Biden story. They were able to drag his flabby crack backside to Arkansas because he is in court. Rewind. Remember the, I don't want to say baby mama, but I know that that's like the parlance of our times. But the woman with whom he had an affair. And I know you're like, well, wait a minute. He slept with so many people. I know. I think this was before. Okay. This was between his Instagram influencer wife and his sister-in-law, who was his girlfriend for a while, right? London Roberts was in between those, okay. In between those two. And so they had romantical times. He even, at one point, and we know this because of the emails that were on his computer, he at one point had her on the Biden family insurance, et cetera, et cetera. And it ended up that after they broke up, he dumped her off of it. So London Roberts, between the Instagram influencer girlfriend, hang on, I know it's a difficult web to weave, and then the sister-in-law girlfriend, that's who he was dating. They ended up having a baby, the little girl, Navy Joan, who's adorable. And he didn't want to be a father to this baby. Like she had to drag him to court to get him to do a paternity test. And then after it came back, you're the father. Then she had to drag him to court again just to get him to pay child support. Then she had to drag him back to court again, which is where he's at now, because he's trying to say he's this broke, starving artist. Kane's head just snapped straight off his neck.
Broke artist?
Yeah, he's trying to say he's a broke artist. He can't take care of his one baby because he's too busy living in his Malibu mansion when he's not living in the White House to avoid being subpoenaed. He tried to avoid today and it wasn't happening. Or when he was staying at that billionaire's ranch in Northern California late last month. So, No, you got to come in. He sells artwork. What is his artwork going for?
$250,000, $500,000.
Yeah, like half a million dollars. It's money laundering, let's be real. But that's what his, and that's the stuff that he spits the paint through the straw, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just making sure. So that's how much his stuff is going for. He's legit telling her. Now, here's where it gets so fun. Here's where I get really excited about it. I get really into the story. So, you know, he has this ongoing investigation, the federal government, with the, because of his, he did not claim the stuff that he made from China, these Chinese businesses, the Seneca Falls, et cetera, et cetera, which all these emails prove. He didn't claim this income. And so this is one of the, he's under investigation for that, right? So James Comer, Jim Jordan, many others have been requesting documentation to substantiate his financial claims and to also look into what he maybe, he perhaps did not claim. Now, they've been fighting all of this, but now the judge in Arkansas wants all of this financial documentation as well, because Hunter Biden is trying to argue that he can't pay for his baby because he's broke. He don't want to pay for his baby. He also does not want the baby to have his last name. He's been fighting that as well. What a just lame-o freak. Anyway, but so the House Oversight has been demanding these documents. They've been refusing, dragging their feet, haven't wanted to give up any kind of documentation related to his financial activity, etc. And now the judge in Arkansas, because he's trying to argue that he's poor and he can't pay for this baby, now the judge in Arkansas is demanding that he substantiate these claims by giving over all of the related finance, all of everything, all about his finances. This male whore shot himself in the foot. It's exactly what he did. Hunter Biden is a skank who shot himself in the foot with this. So now the House is going to get everything because of this case. They have to. He has to. He has to turn all this over. And it's going to be, I mean, that's the way it has to turn all of this over now. He did not want to pay for his child. He fought paying for his child. And as a result, now the judge is going to get all this documentation. And boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy. Good on London Roberts for pursuing this on behalf of her daughter. Good for her, because it needed to be done, number one. I mean, and this is also the child that the Bidens won't ever acknowledge. This is the seventh grandchild. This little girl's like 2 years old now. They have refused to acknowledge her, and he's also fighting to even have, he doesn't want this baby to even have his last name. I mean, it's truly disgusting. So this is one of the things that was kicking off over the weekend. And now you have him in Arkansas for that. Any developments, of course, you know, we will absolutely bring them to you. Now, in addition, let me pull this up. A horrible thing happened over the weekend. Individual who was in the country illegally, deported. How many times has this guy been deported?
Five.
I thought it was more than five.
Oh,
maybe, yeah. Well, it was a handful of times. Let's just be safe and say it was a handful of times. I know I had read anywhere from like 8 to 10, could be 5. I mean, who knows? This guy's been deported a lot. He was in the country illegally, an illegal alien, in the country illegally. And in Cleveland, Texas, it was like 10:30 at night, and he was outside firing his gun in his yard. So first off, he was a prohibited possessor because he wasn't a citizen. So he didn't even have that protected right in the first place. So that's number one. Number two, the family had asked him to stop. You know, it's 10:30 at night. They've got a baby trying to sleep. It's just good neighborly behavior. Let's just not be shooting off our guns in the yard, you know, and the baby's trying to sleep. So he responded in a way that only psychos respond, and he shot and killed up the whole family. It's terrifying. And then he went on the run. 38-year-old Francisco Oropesa. And he killed 5 people between ages 8 and 31. Some of the survivors were hiding in the back room. He's got, you know, very discernible tattoos, etc. They have a $25,000 FBI award now. He's on the run. They said he's armed and dangerous, a threat to the community. Which is why they immediately apologized when they realized they publicized the wrong photo, the FBI, when they first announced this. Just going to grit my teeth over here. So they said that they go, we're 100% confident now that we got the right photo out there. God help us all. So the last time this criminal had an encounter with immigration authorities, it was in 2016. So he's got this big tattoo on his forearm, etc. And he posted signs like on his tree saying that he was armed. And I mean, how are you? First off, he's in the country illegally. That's brazen. So they asked him to stop firing off rounds. Actually, this is between 10:30 and 11:30. And that's when he went and shot up the family after that as a response to it. I mean, it's just horrific. I mean, the youngest victim's 8 years old. And they were all shot from the neck up in their home, said FBI. They were found in the bedroom. They were apparently, they were trying to shield the children because they were laying over the children. There were 10 people in the house, 3 children who were not hurt. So this, the parent and the neighbors have had problems with them for a long time. And they said that, you know, a really long time they've had some issues with them. So this guy's known. Now they started a manhunt. And Greg Abbott had tweeted out, Texas governor had tweeted out, quote, he announced a $50,000 reward for information on the criminal who killed 5 illegal immigrants on Friday, because the people he killed were also in the country illegally. They said he tweeted he also directed Operation Lone Star to be on the lookout. He's going to continue working with state and local officials to ensure all available resources are deployed to respond. And then the left went mad. And I was wondering when I woke up this morning, why in the name of all things holy was Beto, the Irishman who appropriated Hispanic culture, why was this guy trending? Well, he was trending because he decided he wanted to try to use this for messaging. The left went crazy over this guy, over Abbott. Beto was like, you have an illegal immigrant who shoots up other people in the country illegally, and Beto calls for gun control. Robert O'Rourke calls for gun control. I mean, it's one of golly. And the left, in the meantime, the left was apoplectic over Abbott because they were saying that he committed a sin because he said that the killer was an illegal alien. Because the killer was here in the country illegally, that it was wrong that he mentioned the fact that the murderer was here illegally. I think that's kind of important to note. And it was noted that because he had said in a statement, the victims, he also added the status of the victims, that they were also here illegally. And people were taking that to mean like it was some sort of slur. What do we always say when we're talking about crime? Like, who are the biggest victims of crime of illegal immigration? Illegal immigrants. Because they're afraid to go to police. You want to know the reason that this guy was able to go on for as long as he did? Nobody wanted to go to the police about this guy because they were here illegally and they were afraid. This is the big thing that Democrats just don't get. The biggest victims of illegal immigration are other illegal immigrants and immigrants in general. It's insane. This guy was doing this and terrorizing these families for so long. Were Democrats down there? Where the hell were the Democrats making sure that people were able to be processed and become on the track to become citizens? Oh, they were nowhere to be found. But now they want to descend like vultures and then pretend that they care about immigration. We got a lot more to hit today. We got Stephen Yates joining us later on. You don't want to miss
the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet.
Do you know what Joe Biden thinks is wacko? Republicans want to reduce spending from $60 trillion to $56 trillion over the next 10 years to reduce the debt ceiling. Although he voted for those same cuts as a senator from Delaware, while inflation is here to stay.
Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm trying to understand. This is an actual real headline. So this is, it's a California transplant. And this is in Georgia, right? This chick is from Pasadena. And she took over this historic property in Woodville. And the headline is Robotic Proposition. Now, that sounds kind of interesting. You're like, wait a minute, Robotic Proposition? It's a robotic brothel. Dude, in this little town of Woodville in Greene County, this is in Georgia, I believe, and it's sex robot delivery and a robotic brothel. Yeah, And people are reeling because she's actually going, she's going through all the proper, you know, talking to the city council. She's got a robotic proposal. And everyone, they're just trying to come to terms in this town with, wait a minute, you're a robotic brothel. Come to a little historic town in Georgia and you're doing, man, them California transplants though. I don't. There's more to the story. Like, they get into it. Like, they had 12,000 people that signed the petition. The city admitted or amended its city ordinance. And they were trying to say that they had to actually put that adult establishments couldn't include anthropomorphic devices. Dude. Right? So, I don't know. She says she's a gender nonconforming pop star cult leader. She's from California. That's all you need to know. Right? Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. He admits that he's got a pretty good idea who leaked that bombshell draft ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade. He says it made us targets of assassination attempts. And I think the general consensus is that it was somebody in Breyer's camp. Because that's why nothing has been done, because he was, you know, on the way out. So kind of interesting. Minnesota barely voted. They voted to legalize marijuana use in the state with conditions. The Minnesota Senate voted Friday to legalize recreational marijuana. There's still more negotiations that have to be undertaken before it can become law. 34-33 party line vote. They said that you can't be convicted of any kind of violent offenses. There's, you know, all kinds of stuff. There's a bunch of other things that go along with it. But that's one of the things they were doing in Minnesota. Bud Light boycott, new survey, broad support across the country. And a bionic eye could restore blindness in humans. According to CNET, they're still studying it at Science Corp in Alameda, California. But it could be something that's a reality soon. Bionic eyes. Stay with us. We got more in store. If you have not changed the way that you buy meat yet, you should make the switch to Good Ranchers today. When you subscribe, Good Ranchers will give you 1.5 pounds of free bacon in every box for a year. That's a $240 value. And this bacon tastes so good because Good Ranchers pigs are never crated and they never use antibiotics or added hormones. And they have heritage breeds that have historically produced the best pork in the world. Subscribe today and get their price lock guarantee. What you pay today will be what you pay a year from now. With Good Ranchers, I consistently get the same quantity and quality of meat every single time. Their all-natural burgers, USDA prime steaks, and better-than-organic chicken have changed my standard for great meat, and it will change yours too. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use code Dana for $20 off your next box. Get free bacon, great meat, a secure price, and a bonus of $20 off today at GoodRanchers.com with code Dana when you subscribe. GoodRanchers.com, code Dana. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
I don't like what Disney said about the legislation that I would have supported in Florida, but it's not the role of government to punish a business when you disagree with what they're saying.
Oh my gosh. I can't. I'm not even going to be able to finish this man's audio soundbite. Can we? All right. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast on an affiliate station near you. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Asha Hutchinson, who has announced that he's running for governor, is the latest to try to bastardize and redefine what is a conservative move and what isn't as it relates to business. Let's be super clear for the people who don't understand what the Reedy Creek development is. Way back long ago, when some of us were just zygotes or even pre-zygote phase, Florida lawmakers gave Disney everything. Disney got special accommodations. They got a favored status that no other corporation in the entire state got. They got exemptions. They got exceptions. They could do whatever they wanted to do. They didn't have to ask a single taxpayer around them or just ask permission for anything. And I think it was how John Turley put it. The only other entity or the only other area in the world where this is like this is the Vatican. That's it. It was legit like a whole its own sovereign entity within the state of Florida. Now, they enjoyed a lot of exemptions and exceptions, and because of that specifically, that kickstarted them to help becoming an economic powerhouse. They could base everything there. They didn't have to worry. They were able to become an absolute powerhouse. Now, when you run a business in a state, you know, it's smart that you want to try to, I mean, it's just part of the cost of doing business. You don't do stupid things that could impact your business, correct? I mean, it's one of the reasons that Donald Trump gave a ton of money to Chuck Schumer. Not because Donald Trump likes Chuck Schumer, but because he ran businesses in Manhattan and that's how you got to do it. You got to grease the palms. Look, that's the way it is. We live in a stupid society. I know. I agree. I would also not like to do any of these things, but this is the society in which we live. So you go with it. Play with the cards you're dealt. Now with Disney, they decided that they were going to leverage their economic strength, and they literally weighed in. It wasn't that Disney's woke. Disney's been woke for a long time. It's the fact that they decided to, A, misrepresent the parental rights and education bill, which literally does not even have the word gay anywhere in it. All that bill was about and it got the majority of Democrat voters supported it, by the way, for the reason that it dealt with age-appropriate material. It didn't ban books. Like the left actually banned Dr. Seuss. They literally removed it and banned it. The parents didn't even get to make a decision on that. That was just one of them. Yeah, they banned a whole bunch of books, meaning they didn't even ask parents if it was okay. They just did it. And they're not ever allowed in school again. What happened with the parental rights and education bill is that parents were saying, hey, and I looked at these books, and I know this for a fact. I mean, to me, it's not anecdotal because I saw it and I saw a video of it. And I talked to my friend who had kids and, you know, in junior high and elementary. You had books like the gender queer book. That, and I've told you this before, but for people who are just joining, that book literally it was a graphic novel. It had cartoons of young adults wearing strap-ons and engaging in oral sex and all kinds of other intimate activities. That was just one of them. I can't even show the pictures on the simulcast because we'll get in trouble with DirecTV. And I can't even read portions of the book on air because I'll probably get hit with a decency complaint. But that was available for your like fifth and fourth and third grader? That's what I don't understand. Like, if I can't even say that on air, why in the hell was it in an elementary school library? This is why parents were, and it absolutely, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, fight me on it. That's literally where it was. And parents were simply saying, this is age inappropriate material. Like, there's a reason why you don't take 6-year-olds to R-rated movies, because they're age inappropriate. Parents want to be able to make the determination what is or is not age appropriate for their kids. They're supposed to be working in partnership with the school. They're not pawns of the school. That's not the relationship. That's not how it's supposed to be structured. So parents, and this is why Democrats all over the country joined with this. This is not just Republicans. The head of Parents Defending Education was a Democrat. The head of the one in the group in Virginia was a Democrat. It was like something like 58% of Florida voters who are registered Democrats supported. Not likely voters, registered Democrats supported the parental rights and education bill. It didn't even say anything about being gay. It was a bill that was strictly about making sure age-appropriate materials that parents could veto or approve. Nothing was actually banned. I mean, there are some books that are fine for high school level, but are age-inappropriate for elementary school kids. And so they wanted to be able to weigh in on that. That made the left mad. So they decided to impugn the character of the parents and to the anger of a lot of Democrats, call them Republicans, and say it was just Republicans doing this. And then Disney got involved at the behest of their activist employees and decided to leverage their economic powerhouse to go after the parents who were sticking up for their rights and wanting to direct what their kids were exposed to and when. That's what this is all about. So Disney decided to do something super stupid and use the economic leverage that they had been given, a favored status that literally no other corporation in the state had, and go after parents. And it wasn't just Republican lawmakers either, ladies and gentlemen. There were Democrat legislators in the state of Florida that were saying, okay, now you're making us reevaluate this cronyist setup that you have. So to go back to Asha Hutchinson's stupid comment, it was big government and anti-capitalist and anti-conservative to give Disney these accommodations. It is not big government, anti-capitalist, or anti-conservative to make Disney play at the exact same level as every other corporation in the state. Defending Disney and demanding that they receive special accommodation, continued special accommodation, is anti-conservative and anti-American. And I just want to make sure that that's what Asha Hutchinson wants to identify as before he keeps going on with these comments, because that's what they are. But he's, like so many of these other candidates, are trying so hard to be competitive with Ron DeSantis, who hasn't even announced, by the way, that they're running to his left. The Trump campaign took out another, what is it, $2.5 million, something like that. I'm going to look at this. It was a huge ad campaign. He's not run a single ad against Gavin Newsom or Joe Biden. Not a single ad against Joe Biden this season. They've already done two huge ad buys on DeSantis. And it's over stupid stuff. His PAC, what is it, the America, whatever, America First, whatever. His PAC, which got a lot of money, by the way, I'm going to say it because it's fact. They received, and it wasn't employees, it was from Disney. They received more money in 2020 than Joe Biden. Just want to say that, from Disney. That's on Open Secrets. Don't get mad at me. That's just the fact. I looked it up and I provided screenshots and links in a post that was on my Substack, Chapter and Verse. So they had a pudding cup ad that they took out, which is stupid. Because, what was it, Washington Post or Axios was saying DeSantis ate pudding with his fingers or something like that. I mean, golly. And they did this ad where they were going after him. I think the latest ad might be about the Disney stuff. I was trying to remember. I don't think anything's aired yet, so I don't know. But I read reports where I think it might be about the Disney stuff. We have such a wealth of candidates on the Republican side. I don't know why certain candidates are so afraid to run on their own record, especially when you've got some good accomplishments, right? Why do you have to sit here and run to the left of what you perceive to be your challenger? That's not making you Trump is not making himself attractive to voters. And it's and you can say what you want about the hardcore base. Those people don't decide the general. I know everyone likes to think that it comes down to them personally for the general election. I hate to tell you, it's never been that way. We've said this for 10 years on this radio program. It comes down to independents and middle of the road voters. It's how it always has. That's why you see so many candidates on the left and the right try to run to the center. That's just the way it is. And you're not going to attract people with this kind of stuff. He's got bad people advising him. And I know he's got bad people advising him because I know the people advising him. And I just don't understand why he's making these. I mean, he ought to be running ads talking about his accomplishments. You know, talking about the economy. Oh my gosh. Like, why are you not doing this? Oh my gosh. Because people in politics, the unspoken rule is, what have you done for me lately? Not what have you done for me overall? They don't care about the whole body of work. They want to know, what have you done for me lately? You got to remind them. People are fickle. And particularly in politics, you have to continually remind them. He ought to be putting out ad after ad talking about everything that he's done. And instead, he's putting out ad after ad with this goofy, like this messaging going after other Republicans. And I see Asha Hutchinson doing this. And then can we just talk about this for a minute? Let's talk about Nancy Mace for a second. Audio soundbite 3, please.
Can he succeed in running for the presidency? I mean, is this really going to be something that, and people who are in Republican districts have to make this calculus? You say you're in a purple one, mm-hmm. So you have to compromise.
It's the number two issue in my district. Number one's inflation. The debt ceiling is an important issue. Number two is abortion and finding a middle ground. Signing a 6-week ban that puts women who are victims of rape and girls who are victims of incest in a hard spot isn't the way to change hearts and minds.
Misrepresenting the statistics isn't the way to change hearts and minds either. And it's really unfortunate to see someone like Nancy Mace adopt the language of the left and try to attack a conservative governor. Is she trying to be an attack dog for a particular campaign? Is she gunning for an administrative post in a potential like Trump administration? I'm just wondering. I don't know what that language is. First off, rape and incest is less than 1%, and there are accommodations for that in every single state across the country. I don't even know what she thinks she's talking about here, but you need to do it from a position of facts. And try to base a universal application of this policy on a statistic that is, by Planned Parenthood's own published numbers, is less than 1% is incredibly disingenuous and it's anti-conservative. Furthermore, the average American, Democrat and Republican and independent, as previously shown in multiple surveys, they kind of settle around a 15-week ban. Now, that differs in state by state, right? A 15-week ban might work well in Michigan, but not in Georgia. Whereas, as we've said before, a 6-week ban in Florida might work well in Florida, but not in New York. So she's trying to set up a straw man argument and say that, well, the 6-week ban, that's just too much. And that's why you can't have somebody like DeSantis. And it wasn't just DeSantis either. Can I point out that there were a handful of governors and state legislators across the country that implemented similar? And it wasn't just that you had Democrat voters that voted for this in Florida. May I remind you, this was one of the issues that not only DeSantis, but Republicans in the state of Florida campaigned on. And it's why they flipped for the first time ever Miami-Dade and Palm Beach County. It's why there are no Democrats in any statewide elected office across the state of Florida. And it was because of the messaging. Do you want taxpayer-funded abortion on demand up until birth? That is not an exaggerated presentation of the Democrats' position. That is literally citing where they stand. Three times they've tried to introduce a bill making that possible. And the latest, Raphael Warnock was a co-sponsor of, and that was about a year and a half ago. So that's literally their party position. And you can either have that or you can have this. That's the messaging that they use. That's why it was so successful. And apparently Nancy Mace doesn't understand good messaging, nor does she understand statistics on abortion. Nor does she understand that it's not very conservative to adopt the language of the left and go after someone who has more constitutionalist principles than you do. And apparently she doesn't understand that that's what's making her unattractive, not just across the country, but in her own purple district. We have a lot more on the way. As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
We've been able to bring home dozens of hostages and wrongful detainees from Afghanistan, Burma, Haiti, Iran, Rwanda, Venezuela, across West Africa, around the world.
I'm sorry, what did he say?
Iranda?
Is that a new country? Iranda. That's a new one. I hadn't heard that before. Welcome back to the program. That was President McUnity there saying that, he got some, brought home wrongfully detainees from Iranda. Did he correct that? Did he like go back and correct it?
I don't think so.
He just let that go?
Yeah, just let go.
Everybody else let that go?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, I was just wondering, you know, just let that go. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. Now, we've been trying to get Nancy Mace on the program to talk with us too, as per our last segment. And normally her people have always reached out to us for her to come on the show. So we reached out to her and no, they're not. Uh-uh.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll
it's. See. But it's like, I'm not going to be mean, but I do think that you have some explaining to do, right? I mean, as I said, I mean, it's just really disappointing to see Republicans debase themselves to try to attack other individuals who are more competitive because they're more conservative. It's so weird to watch this. It's like, why are you just like, I'm just like watching people pour gas on themselves and then light a match. Why are you doing this? This just doesn't make any sense. It's so dumb. Stop it. The flaccid right has got to stop. I'm done with it. We have more on the way, including the latest on this case in Texas that made Bader trend. I can't. So ridiculous. Ooh, also in wokery, KISS co-founder Paul Stanley called gender transitions on kids a dangerous trend. And it was echoed by Dee Snider. Dude, I know. It's weird. Now, don't get so excited because they were both like really big on the vax, the injection that didn't actually transfer immunity. But, you know, this is kind of promising. We're going to get into all of this and more. Stick with us. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
What about her Bankshot remark about if you vote for him, you're really voting for President Harris?
Well, that would be a good thing. President Harris has demonstrated, Vice President Harris has demonstrated over the years that she is up to the job. She has been a big, I think, credit to this administration. Now, she's a woman and the first woman to ever hold the job, and not even to mention a minority from two perspectives, Asian American.
Well, she's done a great job because she's got a vagina. So that's ultimately it. That's what Jim Clyburn is saying. What are you? It's true. That's what he just said. I know. It's because she's got a vagina, Kane. Okay. I mean, why even call her by her name? Why even, you know, give her any kind of singular, unique identity if we're just going to distill everything down? Well, you know, she's a chick. Yeah. Welcome back to the show. Second hour. Dana Lash here with you. Welcome. You can listen coast to coast, and you can also, you watch the live stream. I have to tell you, so just real quickly. So I got momentarily distracted just a second. My son did an AP government test today, and we reviewed, because they said, it could be the whole year. The whole year, he could have to go through the whole, you know, they're not going to tell you what, and I mean, guys, this goes from, they had to know all of the Federalist Papers. They had to know, oh yeah, it's real learning. All the Federalist Papers, judicial philosophy. It wasn't just executive branch, legislative branch, judicial branch. They had to be able to explain the three judicial philosophies, give an example of a recent case, like all this stuff. And they had to explain, you know, what, like, for instance, what's the difference between Federalist 70 and 78? Like, do you know? And so we had to do, I always have tricks. The reason everyone always wants to know, like, how do you remember so many things? Because I've done, like, all the tricks to memorize every, what is it? Is it the mnemonic device? Isn't that what it is? Yeah. Isn't that what it's called? I'm going to make sure, hang on. I'm going to make sure I've got it. Because, yeah. Mnemonic device. That's, you know, to recall. So that's what I've always done since I was in junior high, because I used to get crazy stressed out about tests because I had to do well in order to get to school. So we reviewed for like hours yesterday, and he's, you know, an honor student. He's like a special scholar, all this stuff. So he was like, he wanted to do really well on this test. So like, for instance, like a mnemonic device, like if you were trying to figure out, you know, what's the difference between like Federalist 70 and 78, well, 70, so we're like single 70, right? Single 70, single executive, unitary executive, meaning that was what Hamilton argued in Federalist 70. That was, you know, so it's like mnemonic devices like that to just plant stuff in your head, right? Like Marbury v. Madison. They had to know these cases. So can you quickly explain Marbury v. Madison? So what we did is when Congress acts up, Marbury it, right? So Marbury v. Madison was the first major test of the really Supreme Court's ability, an act of Congress that's unconstitutional, the Supreme Court can declare, can determine that that's unconstitutional. So like different, you know, mnemonic devices to be able to help you recall information. So he just literally texted. Normally I don't look at stuff, but I was waiting to see this come up because he was really stressing about this test. He was, he never gets nervous about tests, right? This is the kid who has straight A's for like ever. He's got scholarships. I mean, he's, you know, he's a brainiac. And he was really, and when he stresses out about a test, I stress out about the test. I'm like, wait, you're the last person who should, I mean, you're you. You're like straight A. You're the mad scientist who's going to save us all from aliens someday. I'm positive. And then he just texted and he was like, yeah, that test was so, it was a lot easier. It was so easy. Reviewing last night really helped. I was like, yay. So that makes me feel, so I saw that pop up literally right as the program started. I was like, oh. Because he was, I homeschooled my oldest and I homeschooled him up until fourth grade. So he didn't get to do all of the stuff like with my oldest. Like we already were going through like ways to memorize big chunks of information when you're sitting down for your tests and all this stuff. And here's the process to test. I was able to do all of that with him, not as much with my youngest. So this is real cool. So I'm very, very excited. Very excited about that. So good things. All right. So as we were saying, sorry, James Clyburn, we were coming in with James Clyburn and he was talking about Kamala Harris and saying that, well, the reason that she's, you know, she does a great job. The reason I want to say this is because it makes Kane squirm. It's because vagina. That's why. I mean, you guys cringe. Why doesn't Clyburn? That's ultimately what he's saying. Well, she's a woman. How many times did he say that in that soundbite? Like twice, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's because she's a woman. Wait, what does that have to do with her doing a job, right?
The first one.
She's the first woman and a woman. Oh, okay. God gave you boobs. Woo! Excellent. Good job. That's not a qualification. That's not demonstrative of merit, right? It's not. It really isn't. So what's... It's so lame. It's lame. It's so lame. I'm tired of that always being trotted out. I also don't like seeing it. I've seen Republicans do it too. Like with Nikki Haley's campaign. I saw this thing. You're going to probably start seeing me be a little meaner. And I'm going to be honest. I'll tell you what I prefer. What I prefer is a Democrat not winning in 2024. But I am going to point out stupid mistakes that happened during primary. So I just saw the stupid messaging from Politico. It said, Team DeSantis goes to war with unlikely foe, Nikki Haley. I wrote, this is silly messaging. Haley decided to campaign as a surrogate and pick a fight with an undeclared candidate, and a PAC, along with a bunch of conservatives in general, responded. Stop. The media so badly wants DeSantis to be in a fight with someone. They want the Republican field to tear each other up. And you have all of these influencers out there who are just as cringe as Clyburn was there, who are trying, they're all auditioning for different campaigns. Oh, yeah, they are. Believe me, I can sit here if I wanted to, if I didn't have any friends and I wasn't trying to like stay nice with some people so I could also, you know, not have make sure that I get information for you for the show. I'd be blowing people up because you can tell who's auditioning for what. You see people out there auditioning for Trump. I see people out there auditioning for Haley. There are a couple of people out there going so hard. She's just basically auditioning for Trump's VP. That Nikki Haley's running as VP. And I see her out there all the time. Well, I'm a woman. I'm, you know, a woman, campaign woman, president woman. I mean, that's like Idiocracy at this point. That's what James Clyburn just said about Kamala. Well, it's vice president woman. What does this matter? What does this matter? I mean, golly, it doesn't. It shouldn't. It shouldn't come into play at all. But yet, here we are. All right, I got a couple of other things. Now, we did tell you. I want to go to the wokery. Okay. So, Paul Stanley, who I don't agree with on everything, because wasn't he a big government injection supporter too? And so was Dee Snider. Like, I remember Dee Snider going out there and being like, get your shot, you know, and all this. People can be wrong and stupid wrong, but then they can say things that are correct. And I don't hate them for being stupid wrong. I only hate them if they're hateful, but you know, that makes sense. But I only like hold it against them if they're super hateful, but every now and then they're correct. So you had Paul Stanley, who got out there and said, normalizing gender reassignment surgery on children is a sad and dangerous trend. He said this on Sunday. He woke up and chose violence. So he gets out there and here's the statement. So this is what his statement is. It's a paragraph. So hang on. He wrote this yesterday, quote, my thoughts on what I'm seeing. There is a big difference between teaching acceptance and normalizing and even encouraging participation in a lifestyle that confuses young children into questioning their sexual identification as though some sort of game, and then parents in some cases allow it. There are individuals who as adults may decide reassignment is their needed choice, but turning this into a game or parents normalizing it as some sort of natural alternative or believing that because a little boy likes to play dress up in his sister's clothes or a girl in her brother's, we should lead them steps further down a path that's far from the innocence of what they are doing. With many children who have no real sense of sexuality or sexual experiences caught up in the fun of using pronouns and saying what they identify as, some adults mistakenly confuse teaching acceptance with normalizing and encouraging a situation that has been a struggle for those truly affected and have turned it into a sad and dangerous fad. Kane doesn't like his last sentence because those truly affected. You don't like that part. Yeah. And Dee Snider retweeted and said, you know what? There was a time when I felt pretty too. Glad my parents didn't jump to any rash conclusions. Well said, Paul Stanley. And all the people who have been championing Dee Snider because of what he said about the shot, now they are apoplectic. They have no idea what to do. They're freaking out right now. Like, if you look at the comments, how would you blah, blah, blah? Oh, my gosh. It saddens me to read this. I'm trans. It's a guy. Delaying HRT is costly. That's hormone replacement therapy. You're jacking around with stuff that's going to give you serious, serious problems later on down the road. Like, for it's not, it's elective. Oh my gosh. I mean, it is just wow. They're going crazy over this. I just, you know, just want to lay that out there. Just very interesting that they said that. You know, Paul Stanley, Dee Snider. Just saying. And Dee Snider was the ugliest woman who's ever, like, he is an ugly woman. When he dressed up in Twisted Sister, that was the whole point, Twisted Sister. Yeah, I mean, that was, for those who don't know. And they get it, you know. I mean, you could even argue that with Kiss. Yeah. I'm going to say something that's probably going to be the most controversial thing I've ever said in my life. All the Media Matter people are leaning in. What? They're leaning in. You ready? Kiss are the original Juggalos. I'm not saying that as like to be mean.
It's not controversial.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, is it going to be more controversial, like my David Lee Roth versus Sammy Hagar thing, or me saying that Kiss really were the OG Juggalos?
I don't know.
It depends on which city you're saying this in.
Yeah. Well, now we're saying in all of them. Oh, who knows? So, yeah, good for them. Good for them. I'm glad that they said that. All right. Now, looking at some of the immigration, which we're going to talk about here. We got headlines coming up as well. But the manhunt for the illegal alien who killed, like, shot up a whole family. And they were also here illegally. Greg Abbott is getting all kinds of, like, fire because he pointed out that the killer had entered the country illegally and the family had entered the country illegally, and people completely miss the point of him saying that, because he said this a lot, as well as I think every other Texas lawmaker, Republican or Democrat. This guy, I went and I was reading all of the reports about this guy. Like, this guy had signs like, if you come on my land, you'll get shot, all this kind of stuff, all over his property. Like, he apparently had, like, fired off stuff before. He'd been really confrontational with people. Everyone in the area was like, yeah, I don't talk with the neighbors, like, you know, referencing him without referencing him. They've had a problem with him for so long, but people were scared to go to law enforcement about it because they were also here legally, and they knew that if they went to law enforcement about it, then law enforcement would find out that they were here illegally, and then, you know, that would also be a thing. And so the point was that, you know, the people who statistically are the biggest victims of illegal immigration are themselves illegal immigrants, and followed by immigrants, because you have you know, illegal aliens that come in, coyotes that come in, etc., and they harass and, well, like this guy, right? And they can't go to law enforcement about it, so they live in fear. And it's, I mean, it's a terrifying thing. And so they're looking for this guy. Now, this all comes right after Lori Lightfoot. We're going to get into this here more after headlines. Lori Lightfoot sent a letter to Greg Abbott. This is just over the weekend, actually yesterday, saying, don't send any more migrants. Don't send any more illegal immigrants to Chicago. We don't have the resources to handle it. Yeah, we're going to talk about that here coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So you're definitely going to want to make sure that you stay around when we come back, because we've got a treat from the throwback years from Kane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're so doing it. I'm sorry. Was I not supposed to? Because it's happening. Okay. I don't understand this whole... This is a horrific story. A family of a six-year-old girl. The six-year-old girl was strangled, stuffed in a chlorine drum, and dumped on the mom's front lawn by the dad's girlfriend, Bella Fontenelle's body. They discover, and the woman is on video, like wheeling up this giant drum with the girl in it. Oh my gosh. They said it was a senseless, inhumane act, obviously, but it's chilling surveillance footage. She's totally going to jail. I've never seen a headline like that. So in Britain, the zoo is seeking five people to dress up as birds and chase seagulls away. That's an actual headline. It's in Lancashire, England. They're trying to use seagull deterrents to help with the nuisance of the birds attacking their visitors. It's wild. We have more. I didn't shut up last segment. I apologize. We have more in store. Stick with us, back in just a couple minutes. Hey. Every little thing I do, never seems enough for you. You don't want to lose it.
If you had to trying to outsmart you in the Walmart parking lot and missed any portion of today's show, download the latest Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform.
All right. So, okay. Something happened, but we have to play every May 1st. You guys know how we do. It's tradition, and we hate modernity and embrace tradition.
That's right.
So we got to play. It's going to be meh. Okay, first off, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. If you're watching the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show, the simulcast that's on Channel 347 DirecTV and seen by millions, Kane.
That's right. Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, Kane, the year was 1996. Kane, who was a rock DJ, met Justin Timberlake back when he had ramen hair.
It was actually top 40 at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it rock?
And there is Kane with Justin Timberlake. You guys are like besties in this photo.
We were.
Look at you guys with your denim jacket and his black turtleneck.
You know what I called him?
What?
Justin.
You didn't go, hey, JT.
Nope.
Okay.
Justin.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. That was in St. Louis.
No, that wasn't.
No, where was
that
it?
That was actually in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I spent almost two years at a station up there. And that was that state, WSNX.
You guys are babies. So if you're not watching the simulcast, it's a picture of baby-faced Kane with...
Not a lick of facial hair. Look
Justin Timberlake. Yeah.
Not one
on
bit
either
of facial
of you.
Hair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, on either one of us.
Babies. Baby Kane and baby Justin. It's wild. It's just craziness. Kane. And then the whole time Juan's over here going, man, music today is horrible. It's horrible. So we have to do this because it's May 1st. I can't believe it's May 1st. It's meh. Okay, little quick observation that we're going to get back in all the news and everything, because I know that there's some curmudgeons out there who are like, Dana, I just want to hear about quantitative easing and I want to hear about what my government's doing. Give us all a break, okay? Because everything has sucked in D.C. It's good. I'll just break it down real quick. Taxes, bad. Bad things, bad, bad, bad. China, there you go. All right, now give us a second. Why is it that in the early aughts, everybody, like late 90s, early aughts, it was meh. when you were talking about me, or if you were saying, oh, look at that baby, it would be bebe. Why was this? It was like they were vomiting vowels. Why was this? Like, you couldn't just say, like, hey, baby, in a song. It would be like, hey, bebe. Why? Why do they do that?
I can't say.
Oh, no.
I can't say.
Everything was eh, bebe, meh, seh. Yeah. I mean, I can't deal with it. Oh, yeah, you was another one. There, you were listening to, you would listen to songs and you're like, what happened? What is wrong with them? Yeah. You mean you? Yeah. It's like the same thing. I don't know why they did that. So I'm so glad that they don't really do it anymore. I don't really hear them doing that. So thank heavens. But whew, boy. All right. So it's meh. Meh first. There you go. So... where to even start? I've got some media. I got some, that's bad. Let's like keep it light for a little bit. Cause we're going to get into, all right, let me get into the media. So Dominion, that's the voting thing. They are gleeful that Tucker Carlson was fired. And they say that we hope it all gets unredacted. They say there are more Tucker texts out there. And they said they're about to become public. They're trying to take credit for his firing. I don't think that's the case at all, in fact, because he's literally on video going off on the theory of voter fraud. I mean, he's on video fisking it. So that actually doesn't work, right? I mean, he went after Sidney Powell, and we've played that audio for you, over the Dominion thing. So that doesn't make any sense. That's so stupid. See, it's stupid logic like this that literally just makes me want to like sit in a dark room and play Elden Ring and drink my like diet soda and not have to interact with people because I can't stand it. This is so dumb. No, I think there were a lot of other things. Everybody can speculate. But what are we going to get more texts where he calls a woman yummy? I mean, good heavens. Imagine if he tubed it on a Zoom call. I mean, this is so dumb. It's so dumb. So... they said that, oh, we hope there's more. There's going to be a lot more. They're all excited about it. And then I wanted to pull this up. Oliver Darcy, who oddly I've always gotten along with, but we're not besties. He says that Media Matters, which is founded and funded by a George Soros entity, and that's true, obtained a behind-the-scenes video of Carlson saying that no one watches Fox Nation, quote, because the site sucks, end quote. I mean... it's kind of well known that, like, you know, websites, there are other, it's really hard to get the websites to compete with the actual network channel. Who cares anyway? Who cares? Woo! Is that supposed to be a woo, a big gotcha? Tubing it. That's all I'm going to say. Jiminy Christmas. I mean, show us something like really, I'm waiting for like something really stunning. And all they're going is like, oh, he said that this website wasn't good or that some woman was not, that she was yummy. I just shut up. This is nothing. I like promised great, like over the top things and you guys are not delivering. All right. So this couple of things here. We were talking about how Lori Lightfoot, this is after, you know, we had this the horrible story over the weekend where an illegal immigrant killed a whole family of illegal immigrants. And now the armed dangerous murdering illegal immigrants on the run. And we had said before, you know, one of the, because the left was mad that any of those things were included, either describing the victims or the killer. But as we've said over and over, and I'm going to say this over and over again, literally like the number one victimized group of illegal immigration are illegal immigrants. Like these people were in the country. This guy, the murderer, had a bad violent history. He'd been deported a ton of times. He had a dangerous violent history. And he had a lot of problems with people who lived around him in this area, but nobody wanted to say anything because they were there illegally. And so, you know, they just let him do this to them. And because they've apparently had a lot of issues before. And after illegal immigrants, it's immigrants. So there, that's the next group that's victimized by illegal immigration. I mean, this is, you know, this is an ongoing problem. It's one of the reasons why he used the language that he did. And the left just completely ignores this. So anyway, after all this happens, you got, let me pull this story up. I had it 1 second. You have Lori Lightfoot out there. This is from The Hill. She's begging in a letter to Greg Abbott. She's begging Abbott to not send any more illegal entrants to Chicago. She said sending them to Chicago is inhumane and dangerous. Because Chicago is a crime-ridden hellhole? Because Chicago, you would more likely get shot by a gangbanger who's been caught and released a million times and you would have smiled from someone? I mean, is that what you're talking about? I used to love Chicago. It used to be one of my favorite cities to go to. Catch live music in college. And then now it's like you can't. It's a totally different area. She's like, Chicago's a welcoming city. But no, he's trying to score political points. And she said that they can't receive people in a safe, orderly, and dignified way. Maybe because the city's neither safe, orderly, nor dignified. I just think it's funny that she says sending them to Chicago. Chicago's a sanctuary city. I thought you had all of these resources and activities. Well, you don't have those anymore? She said it's dangerous. He can't do it. It's mean. They don't have any more shelter spaces or resources. Oh, but the tiny little border towns on Texas border, Arizona border, all of these tiny little border towns that definitely don't have the population nor the resources, they're supposed to shoulder it all for you so that you can virtue signal about being a sanctuary while literally rejecting the act of providing sanctuary. You said you were a sanctuary city. So buck up. This is not the first time that she's begged him to stop sending people, but she's telling him again, please stop sending people to Chicago. She says, Abbott, this is not a state versus state or a city versus city problem. Okay, right there, I've got to stop her and say, you're wrong. Do you know why she's wrong? Because she has forced every other town to deal with this issue. I'll never forget when I went, the first time I went down to the border, I was at KURV and I went down there with Glenn Beck, actually. And Glenn got a lot of heat because everyone was saying that he was like encouraging illegal immigration. And what they don't realize is that when he went down there, I went down there to kind of like talk so I could talk about it. And watch everything that was happening. And his thing down there was, it was being used by the Obama administration at the time. They would have these border towns overrun, and then the border towns would try to appeal for help. And then the Obama administration would use that. It was hurt and rescue. They would cause the problem, and then they would use that as a way to demand more funding to help facilitate illegal immigration. So that was like the whole topic. And even some of the flaccid Republicans who were too stupid to even understand what was going on, they didn't understand that that's what he was doing. I thought he got a lot of undeserved criticism from some pretty stupid places for that. And he went down there, he wrote a check to Border Patrol. I literally watched him write a bunch of zeros on a check myself watching it. Because Border Patrol, I can't tell you the amount of agents who were spending hundreds of dollars of their own money on things. Like they would, like babies would, toddlers would come across. And it would sometimes they're like, for instance, the day before they had a 12-year-old bring a 6-month-old, they weren't even related, across the border from a coyote. And obviously the 12-year-old, and they had no way to provide for the 6-month-old kid. So they had to get diapers. They had to get, baby, all this other stuff. They had to provide for the 12-year-old. And that was money that border agents were literally spending out of their own pockets. And the Obama administration was allowing this to happen and allowing it to get to this breaking point so that they then could go in and say, oh, we've got to spend more on all of this illegal immigration. And then you had, and I got to be honest, there was one of the Catholic groups that was down there that was a far leftist Catholic group that was actually, helping the Obama administration do this. They got really mad at me when I asked about that, to the point where I got into an argument with one of the people and Ted Cruz had to separate us. So that's a real story. And they did not want that in the press, but, here I am. Because I feel like it's germane to all of this. That's how crazy it was down there. And he went down there to observe, too, because Glenn was like, people don't understand how bad it is. They were using this as a way to demand more money. And everyone's like, oh, Glenn Beck's going down there and giving, like, toys to illegal immigrants. What he was doing was covering the cost that Border Patrol agents were having to pay out of their own pocket and then showing people that they're purposefully overrunning these towns. So they would make it to where, and it begged the question as to whether or not certain officials were actually even coordinating things. You have to wonder, was there a coordination with cartels to expose certain areas to greater points of crossing to overrun those areas, break them down so that there would be this larger move from the Obama administration to send more money to basically facilitate this and to keep it going. So And by the way, that whole thing became the basis for their argument when they had the Flores Amendment allowing kids to stay in, and then trying to demand that they process people through detention faster. And that's how you ended up losing hundreds of thousands of kids that were just dropped off by coyotes. And yes, there were families that took advantage of the Flores Amendment and would come in with kids so that they wouldn't get processed, or they would get processed faster, and they would lie about, you know, whether or not a kid was theirs. But there were legitimate stories. I saw a video. I saw photographs from Border Patrol. They made fun of, Louis Gohmert. They made fun of other lawmakers for talking about the rape tree, where cartels, the coyotes would, there was like this fabled tree where the story was that they would throw underwear of girls and women that they had violated on the tree as like that is a real thing. Photos of it exist. And it's true that they would give younger girls birth control pills before even starting the journey up. And a lot of times these would be, you know, the cartels were taking advantage of families and doing this. And Democrats were facilitating this by refusing to crack down at the border. As long as the border was open, they were going to take advantage of this. And so when we were down there, I mean, they had a couple of wealthier doctors in the area that set up, because they didn't want the ERs to be overrun. And they would set up these campers where they would go in and they would medically evaluate the kids that were coming in, so that you didn't have like ERs overrun, because these are tiny towns, right? And you're talking about hundreds and thousands of people coming across. So they were trying to do everything that they could to keep everything in working order. And he had gone down there to actually give money towards all of these things, all of these efforts. And it was wild to see this. When you're down there and you see, like Bill Malugin has done such a great job of showing this, when you see how overrun it is, purposefully so, it really, really is, it's a jarring thing. Stunning isn't even the right word. When you see lines of people waiting under a bridge, and everyone just, there aren't even enough Border Patrol to stop anybody. They just march across. It's like you think there's like a festival or something going on. That is stunning. And the administration allows for it to happen. And so Abbott, these towns are overrun. They can't hold people. They can't even. So he's doing what he can. Go send them to the sanctuary cities. Oh, no, they don't want them. We don't have the resources. Now, you tell me who has more resources and more wealth, Chicago or a tiny little border town on the Rio? Exactly. We have Florida Man on the way.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A brawl erupted at a Cleveland Heights golf course in Lakeland, Florida over slow play. They were upset. Whew. So it was the Cleveland Heights golf course in Lakeland. And it did indeed happen. Slow golfing, which I didn't know. I don't do golf. I just don't. But apparently that's a thing. And there's video of it. I can't play the volume. I want to so bad, but it has to have so much censoring. It would just be beep. So what ended up happening is they started off like kicking and throwing punches on this golf course. It was the most awkward fight ever. And they got mad because the golfer was in front of them playing slowly. They started pushing. They started windmilling, kicking. They fell down in the mud. They were wrestling. And it's the most awkward, horrible fight ever. But they ended up, like, police apparently weren't involved. They walked away ultimately. I guess everyone got their butt kicked. I don't know. Let's see. According to WKRN, this is a channel, they said 6 gallons of coma in a bottle stopped before arriving in Florida.
What?
Coma in a bottle. It's an industrial chemical solvent. 6 gallons of it. Liquid ecstasy. They stopped it. Third hour on the way. Stevie Nates will be joining us. Stay with us.
There is some question about his citizenship. He supposedly had I guess they referred to it as a consulate card from Mexico, meaning he was here legally, but perhaps he had overstayed.
So, Chuck, I won't comment on it because it is an active case.
Mm-hmm.
The tragedy that occurred is, you described it correctly, just absolutely horrific.
So he can't say whether he can't comment on the guy who murdered 5 of his neighbors. Well, it's because he was here illegally. So Alejandro Mayorkas, oh man, okay, we need to say a prayer. Lord Jesus, please put a hand over my mouth right now. Holy Spirit, please, you know. Okay, amen. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. Starting off our third hour, we get Stephen Yeats coming up. That's Alejandro Mayorkas, who was busted by the New York Times in an amazing expose where they were discussing how it was under, on it's his policies that are driving it actually into the relationship between a lot of these third party contractors and DHS, because they were these third party contractors could not believe how fast Mayorkas was demanding that they process people who enter the country illegally, particularly kids that are dropped off by coyotes taking advantage of the system that Joe Biden has created and or made worse, I should say. And they lost track of like, 100,000 at least of these kids because of his policies. And he's so bad on immigration. Now he can't even comment on the dude who murdered five of his neighbors who had been deported repeatedly. But because of the lax enforcement, number one, and also the inability to really enforce, because you have the DOJ that ties governor's hands, law enforcement hands together, where they won't let them deport anyone. They fight them on things. They try to brag and say that they've, oh, well, we've, you know, we've deported more people. No, those were, no, actually, that's not, there's turnaways and all of that. That's, and then to not even get into the gotaways, you can't fudge the numbers. And then he can't comment on this in this instance. I mean, he couldn't even say, yes, you know, illegal immigrants are the, you know, they're often, you know, so often victimized by, you know, this lawless, you know, the additional lawlessness of this. He can't say any of this. This guy is such a fraud. Mayorkas is bad news. Bad news. And I'm amazed at the way, you know, the way the media, and I was looking at this a little bit on break too. So on this case that took place in Texas, if you're just joining us, we've talked a little bit about it the past couple of hours, because you had an illegal immigrant who murdered five other illegal immigrants. And this illegal immigrant murderer had been deported a bunch of times, had a violent history, and was known in the area to be violent, but nobody said anything. They just kind of took it because they were also here illegally and they didn't want to jeopardize anything. They thought, well, at least we only have to deal with one guy here, I guess, as opposed to the coyotes. You know, I don't know. And the media is apoplectic because Abbott mentioned the fact that the guy was here illegally and that his victims were here illegally also, because the whole point, as we've said, is that, you know, you have different groups who are more or less, you know, a little bit more terrorized than others. Illegal immigrants are more terrorized. Immigrants in general, border towns, more terrorized by these, you know, lawless actions. And so they're focusing on that and not the fact that our totally open border and lax policies allow this guy to be back here again, despite everything. So they're freaking out. He was correct in the way that he discussed the killer and the victims. He was correct. These are facts. There are people more upset over the way that Greg Abbott talked about the status of the person who carried out the crime and the victims, then they are that five people were killed. Directly related, culpable in this, is the open border policy. This is Biden's border crisis. Alejandro Mayorkas, well, I can't comment on reports that the man's in the country illegally. Then you had celebrity chef Jose Andre. His restaurants suck, by the way. I said that out loud. I did. He told Abbott in a tweet, quote, nobody is illegal in heaven. Okay. And? But they are if they come into the country illegally in the United States, just like if they come into Ireland illegally or the Bahamas illegally or Turks and Caicos illegally or Mexico illegally. And then you had Joe Scarborough, who said, quote, maybe he's part of this Christian nationalist movement. And then he goes, what would Jesus do? What in the world? I love it how the left is like, wait a minute, Jesus, all of a sudden, if they think that they can use it to prove the right wrong. And then Beto O'Rourke called for gun control for everybody. Beto O'Rourke, the super white dude who appropriated a Hispanic nickname, his dad told the Dallas Morning News, Pat O'Rourke, They called him Beto because it played well with Hispanic voters. That's his dad's words, not mine. He called his super white son Robert O'Rourke Beto. He's in Hispanic face with his nickname. He said that AR-15s are designed for one purpose, to kill people. This is what he tweeted yesterday or Saturday. We either accept their continued sale as the price of living and dying in America, or we do the right thing and limit them to military use. Okay, number one, came. The military's never used them because it was a civilian model that the military liked the platform, and so they took it and they created their own off of that platform. That's number one. Number two, the killer who was in the country illegally did not purchase it legally because he was in the country illegally, having been deported a handful of times. And so he was in possession also illegally. So he got his off of the black market. So it doesn't matter if you limit them. It doesn't matter. None of that applies here in this situation. You total utter moron. I feel like Sam Kinison. Every time Beto O'Rourke comes up, I am reminded that even the stupidest among us can still put their lips together and make words. He is natural birth control. Beto O'Rourke. Just going to say, women's libidos crash whenever he's in the area. Ugh, that guy. Living off his wife's family. Can't even like go out and like make any way of his own. What is he? I mean, I don't, what is he? Never really has had a job ever. So he just runs for office. That's all he does. That's one of the dumbest tweets ever. I know it was on the 29th. I feel so compelled to just thrash it. It's May 1st. Why not? So this is what they've all been freaking out over. They have Julian Castro. He says, quote, five human beings lost their lives and Greg Abbott insists on labeling them as illegal immigrants. By the way, it was Julian Castro who insisted on labeling Border Patrol agents, who themselves were Hispanic, by the way, on horseback. He didn't know the difference between a whip and horse reins. And he was trying to say that, oh, that looks like whips. Those were whips. He was whipping people. Though that was an accurate characterization. And here's the other thing. Democrats are so they're so worried that Greg Abbott actually said that the victims were here illegally also. But they don't do anything to actually help those people that they claim that they care about so much. I've never seen any of those people at the border like sleeves rolled up helping, you know, or we're talking to Alejandro Mayorkas and asking him, why did you lose touch? Why did your DHS lose touch? This is according to The New York Times. I mean, kudos to them for that expose. They ran that a month ago. And no one wanted to talk about it until a couple weeks ago. Well, we did. But you don't see, where was Julian Castro talking to Alejandro Mayorkas? Saying, what happened to the kids that came over, just the coyotes? You totally lost track of them. This New York Times piece says that you were blasting third-party contractors that DHS was partnering with because they weren't processing kids fast enough. And they were upset that your office under your authority was not doing enough to vet the people to whom these kids were being released. Some of them weren't even relatives. And you lost track with like 100,000 of them. And then all of a sudden the story comes out in the New York Times talking about child labor from kids who were brought over illegally. What? Nothing that, but they care so much. Oh my gosh, they actually had the legal status correct. Oh, you're so mean. We're not going to say anything else about it, you know. I'm done with this. It's fake compassion. And then you had Eric Adams. I tweeted about this just a little bit ago. Eric Adams put out a statement and he slammed Greg Abbott over reports that he's planning to send more illegal entrants on buses to cities, including New York City, Chicago, and DC. And then this is what Eric Adams literally said, and I quote, put plainly, Abbott is using this crisis to hurt black-run cities. So, he thinks that Abbott is using this to hurt black-run cities. If we really wanted to be honest, it really was Democrat policies that destroyed black-run cities. I mean, the way that after World War II ended and the push from Democrats, the urban renewal planning that they had, where they actually wanted to divide up cities. There's a lot of really good pieces on this, and historians have to actually be honest. That's if you want to have a discussion. You know, it's funny because I was telling you a little bit earlier, you want to have a discussion about who's hurt black-run cities the most, because Democrats, regardless of what you think government's role is in association, Democrats always make a big play about how, you know, they are the party for, you know, every minority group, women, etc. Do you know who set the record for a filibuster in Congress? My son actually had to know about filibuster, and I told him, I said, you know what, if you have a bonus point or if you could add bonus information, you might want to mention who set the record for the longest filibuster in our country's history and why. And he looked at me and I said, it was Democrats for the Civil Rights Act. They made history. In fact, Strom Thurmond led it. And it was the longest filibuster, 75 days in 1964, to prevent the passage of the Civil Rights Act. Democrats did that. And then let's not talk about the way that they tried to destroy black neighborhoods post-World War II with urban renewal. The way that they wanted to design communities and displace historically black neighborhoods. Well, that wasn't... Go and look and who was making the decisions and who was running the offices and who was in charge. Look at black-run cities today where you see crime. Who generationally has been the mayor? Who has been the mayor appointed police chief? Who has been the city council? Eric Adams needs to get a clue, because it has been Democrat policies that have hurt predominantly black communities more than anything and for longer. Adams and all these other Democrats out there, they campaign on sanctuary policies while demanding that small, predominantly Hispanic border towns bear the burden of Democrats' lawless virtue signaling. We have more to come. Stephen Yates is going to be joining us as well here soon. We have headlines on the way that you don't want to miss.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, if you are in the market for a 2,800-year-old mummified ancient Egyptian head that someone kept in a cupboard in Oxfordshire for a century, well, guess what? You're in luck, because they got it. It's a 20,000-pound price tag. So a British soldier who fought in Egypt during World War I apparently brought home some mummy head. Don't horror stories start like this? Just real quick. Okay. And it remained in the family for a century. They put it under a glass dome, but then visitors didn't like looking at it, so they tucked it away in a cupboard. And now it's being sold. The family wants to remain anonymous. Oh, that's so weird. You know the place where they filmed Downton Abbey? So that family, that was the family that actually facilitated the expedition to King Tut's tomb, and they had the curse on them that apparently killed that dude. But this, you can have the mummy head? This is weird. Oh, I wouldn't want to keep, and I'm like really macabre. I wouldn't want to keep that under a dome either. It's weird. It's like, okay, oh, I'm going to be grossed out. I'm going to throw up. Don't do this on TikTok. TikTok's so dumb. Apparently there's a challenge where kids are like burning themselves, apparently. And it actually, a 16-year-old North Carolina was left severely disfigured. 80% of his body burns on 80% of his body because of some goofy thing called this challenge that was on TikTok. And they do this thing. This kid has to have like skin grafts and everything. Another one had burns over 76% of his body. Stop doing stuff with flames and lighter fluid. Stephen Yates next.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
We've been able to bring home dozens of hostages and wrongful detainees from Afghanistan, Burma, Haiti, Iran, Rwanda, Venezuela, across West Africa, around the world.
Rwanda. Okay. Well, you know, we're not the experts here. We are not the experts, but our friend Stephen Yates is. And as you know, Stephen Yates, he's been on the show regularly. This is his wheelhouse, and he is the senior fellow, the America First Policy Institute, chair of the China Policy Initiative, and he joins us now via Skype. Stephen, good to I don't see you yet. Good to see you. I've got to ask you, where is Iranda? You're the expert.
It's a new one for me, I got to say. My first reaction was it sounds actually like a song lyric from the Beach Boys more than a piece of geography around the planet. So I don't know if the president was reminiscing of joyful days gone by, but I'm pretty sure it's not one of those members of the United Nations and we didn't get any refugees back from there.
Yeah, I don't. I think that was one I would have remembered. I think we would all would have remembered that. But you know, I wanted to ask you this, like on a more serious note. So I was reading about this from Reuters, actually Friday. I saw this late Friday evening. Argentina is not going to pay for Chinese imports using Chinese currency rather than dollars. The latest country now to start incorporating and using more of Chinese currency over the U.S. dollar. That's not, I mean, it's not really totally surprising. They said they say to that they're looking to pay around $1 billion of Chinese imports in their currency instead of dollars. And then afterwards, around $790 million of monthly imports are going to be paid in the yuan, according to the government official with Argentina. I wanted to get your thoughts on this because it's like country by country now. It's every week we've got somebody new.
Well, there's a couple of things going on that they probably need to think about a little bit, but we do too. First, we've allowed a lot of our hemisphere to lean really far socialist without really engaging and putting forward any kind of a positive strategy. And if we're going to neglect our hemisphere by way of opportunity and engagement, we can't be too shocked that opportunists in the Communist Party of China or even Iran and Russia and other places aren't going to fill some of that void. And we haven't even approached the topic of cartels, which happen to exist through the hemisphere, too, with consequences for us. So I think there's an issue of neglect and lack of creativity and focus. I've heard administration after administration say that this is important and they're going to be better than the last guy, only to get through 4 years and a lot of meetings that weren't involved in this subject area. But we're dealing with big countries and economies in Brazil, Argentina, Chile, and others. And one by one by one, there's this shift. And at some point, it's really going to matter enough that we have to work hard and rebuild. I think it's worthy of a new, fresh look. It also ties into our food security, ties into what we're doing with processing of things that make our lives run instead of sending them back to China to process. Mm-hmm. So it's beyond the dollar. It's a trend we've got to look at and take more seriously. But color me jaded, I've seen for 3, 4, 5 administrations put lip service to this, but not really do it.
I'm just afraid that because these seem like such monumental shifts. And I know that there have been, like, I was looking at the survey that got into the number of nations, like, you know, worldwide, more people would actually prefer United States leadership over that of globally over China. It was a Gallup poll that Axios had noted. They prefer us, obviously, to China. But, you know, what they have is China. I don't even want to phrase it in terms of China stepping up. It's not like we've stepped down. It just seems like we have an administration that feels as though, you know, the, in order to placate the far left within the country, that means somehow making the United States subservient to these other world entities that are geopolitical foes. So, I mean, is this something, is this a thing that can be reversed? Because it doesn't seem realistically like it can be. This seems like such a monumental shift.
It is a big shift, but the other part of kind of the laws of nature that are going against this going too far is that just like with Belt and Road investments, that people might not pay attention to what the heck that slogan is, but China went in to invest in event spaces, commercial buildings, ports, infrastructure. And at a certain point, the recipients of that development realize it just corrupted their leadership, didn't employ more of their citizens, and there's a little bit of buyer's remorse. When it comes to doing a lot of trade in China's currency, at some point, it seems great at first. But then when you try to take that currency and buy things in other parts of the world, it's pretty limiting. And it's still the dollar that travels everywhere. And I think with a little bit of restored vision and leadership in America, some common sense, we can really push this trend back. But as you know, and all of the listeners know, common sense is in desperately short supply when it comes to our national leadership. And so that's why we're struggling. And China's just basically running a layup drill. It's not as that they have to be that evil. This opportunity is just laid before them, and we can't be shocked that they're taking it.
And there's also, we're talking with our friend Stephen Yates, and you can find him on Twitter at YatesComms. There are also stories that just, they seem, you know, one by one, and looking at them by themselves, they seem small, but altogether it shows this trend of aggression, this upward trend of aggression from China. Like, for instance, I think it was end of April, or it's only May 1st, just, you know, a few days ago, there were the reports in the South China Sea of this, you know, near collision between a Chinese vessel and a Philippine vessel, a Coast Guard vessel. And they've been very, very aggressive. And it made, you know, the United States said, oh, well, they accused China of harassment and intimidation of Philippine vessels. They called on Beijing to end provocative action in the South China Sea as a result. And they said that, you know, if you're going to target, you know, any vessels from the Philippines, that could trigger a defense response from Washington. And then on the heels of that, Biden is set to meet President Ferdinand Marcos as all of this happens. I feel like China's not afraid to mess around with that.
They're not. And there's been a decades-long history of them pushing and shoving on the Philippines. We've had a little bit of uneven leadership from the Philippines. My apologies if they're regular listeners. But my experience has been that the Philippines is a government that always full of potential and never fails to fall short of what we could do together. Mm. And so we I think they should be sobering up about what China is about. It's good that their national dignity and security awareness would be pricked by these incursions by China. And frankly, it should be a positive opportunity for Washington, Tokyo, and Canberra and Australia to really support a Southeast Asian nation that can't stand up to China and the People's Liberation Army alone. So hopefully there's a positive agenda that's flowing in. Haven't heard of it much. We don't hear things like that from our White House podium, but that actually should be the natural response. Maybe the president of the Philippines will get somewhere. Not everyone's had good luck with Joe Biden, and having these exchanges, though, lead to real results.
I mean, it is significant, and I don't want to give him too much credit, because I really feel like if I do, then he just will immediately mess it up. I mean, I don't say that. That's, you know, Barack Obama noting that. But, you know, they did have the big state dinner with South Korea. They had the, you know, the press conference. They were talking about trade and business and strengthening relationships with South Korea. Now he's going to be meeting with the Philippines president. I just feel like this would be anything that a president, regardless of party, who wanted to ensure the stability of not just the United States, but our interests, because, you know, we do a lot of trade over there. We have to have passage in that part of the world. I mean, it does seem like, you know, while you have Xi Jinping gathering, you know, Brazil and, you know, meeting with Macron and, you know, trying to gather up people, we seem to at least be kind of doing that here. Is that on purpose, or is it just, oh no, just happened to be a coincidence that it was all planned like this with these Southeast Asian countries?
Yeah, well, I mean, whether it's Korea or the Philippines or others, I think what's actually happening is our allies are driving the conversation. Our allies are driving the initiative because they're on the front lines and they're feeling the heat. They don't usually want to be forced to choose between the United States and China, even though that shouldn't be a hard choice for an ally. Mm-hmm. But in reality, that's been the push and pull. I would love it if there was some indication that the Biden administration had a real strategy of what was meant to be accomplished, that the United States was driving some of this interaction, that had a kind of an objective of how this would enhance deterrence, how it would realign supply chains and increase economic security, what positives the United States was really building, instead of just sort of the reflexive defensive reaction that our allies are bringing to us. But when you're talking about the sit down with the South Korean president, almost every deliverable from that, from the entertainment down to the policies, was from the South Korean side. And I'm almost sure that whatever's coming from the Filipinos' agenda, that's what is going to be up for discussion. And we'll see what comes of it. But it would be great if we were driving innovation and stability. At least our allies are thinking and sobering up.
If things went sideways, talking with our friend Stephen Yates, last question for you. If things did go sideways, you know, whether it's over Taiwan or, you know, say that they did challenge a vessel that, you know, actually brought in, you know, that question of defense from the U.S., is Philippines a reliable ally? I mean, could they be counted on to step up and say, okay, China, you went too far. We're on the side of the United States on, you know, this issue, XYZ.
We've had a couple of testing points where the Philippines did stay strong. And most recently, it was post 9/11. So there is that potential. And I do think that if it was as stark as sitting there with a front row seat, the north of the Philippines is pretty dang close to Taiwan. And there's a lot of Filipino workers that go to Taiwan. So that conflict would come on very quickly. I think they would stand on the side of the victim, not the aggressor, and thereby stand by the United States. But I don't want to get to the point where that's my last line of defense.
Yeah, that's a great point. That means everything else that we did, we failed because we just didn't do it, I would think, at that point. Stephen Yates at YatesComs on Twitter. Always good to see you, my friend. Thank you so much for your perspective on this. We look forward
to seeing you. Thank you, Dana.
Take care. Of course. Take care. Yeah, that would be horrific if that was the fail on that, if it did get to that point, hopefully. I don't know. Well, it's important to follow this issue because I think they are more, obviously, if you've listened to the program for any length of time, China, I think, is definitely much more of a geopolitical threat than Russia. I think Russia is going off the fumes of previous terror, but that's and it's everything's always been, oh, it's a proxy war with Russia, proxy war with Russia. But China's really the greatest because there's so much more. There's so much more at stake and American interests that are actually legitimately could be affected, even if in, you know, a more extended way. We have more to hit as we roll to where I can't even believe. I was just thinking this is third hour already. Oh, my gosh. This is crazy.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Like rape, even though some of these are some of the worst, even though you can have serial offenders who have violated multiple children under the age of 12. And so we think that decision was wrong. We think that in the worst of the worst cases, the only appropriate punishment is the ultimate punishment. And so the bill sets up a procedure to be able to challenge that precedent and to be able to say that in Florida, we think that the worst of the worst crimes deserve the worst of the worst punishment. And I think that that's the only thing.
So this is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who just a little bit ago signed bills enacting the death penalty for child rape. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're going to break this down tomorrow because this will become a Supreme Court challenge. And the reason I say that is back in 2008, there was a case, Kennedy versus Louisiana. And this was a really this was a really rough case. And it was a landmark decision. It was the Supreme Court that determined it. And I don't even know how much we want to. It was one of the I was just on air in 2008. And I remember having a difficulty, you know, being a brand new broadcaster to discuss this case because it was the information in it. What happened with this story or with this case, man named Patrick Kennedy had brutally raped his stepdaughter, who was 8 years old at the time. She suffered such horrific injuries. She required immediate surgery. Horrific injuries. I can't even, it makes me sick. And Louisiana law allowed for them to pursue the death penalty for people who raped children under the age of 12. And it was appealed before the Supreme Court. Ted Cruz actually was there arguing the case on behalf of Texas. It was Justice Kennedy who did the majority opinion. It was 5-4. Alito, Roberts, Thomas, and Scalia dissented. And the majority said that the Eighth Amendment barred states, Carrie Severino noted, that barred states from imposing the death penalty for the rape of a child where the crime did not result in death. And there was one question that, and we're going to reach out to her, that she said she was horrified when Justice Stevens asked a bizarre question to the assistant district attorney to clarify that the 8-year-old gruesome rape victim didn't have any permanent injury. She still had an injury, and I can't imagine it. Like I said, we're going to talk about this more tomorrow. This was an amazing move. I think that rape should be, I think all rape really should get death penalty. And that's why I always think that, too, when you make false accusations of rape, the punishment for false accusers should be ridiculously severe. and particularly child rapists. And I'm so glad that they, I'm glad that they did this. This is a great move that lawmakers and the governor did in the state of Florida. I do think, like I said, that it's going to, it'll go before the Supreme Court, but note who challenges it and who doesn't, because they're going to get people on record really totally telling you who they are by what they support. Today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is our president who last night just mocking you, mocking just the idea of there's no collusion with the media. But listen to what he says here in him not actually answering questions. He's making fun of it.
This dinner sums up my first 2 years in office. I'll talk for 10 minutes, take zero questions, and cheerfully walk away.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Only if it wasn't so seriously crazy. You're the president. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to actually answer the questions.
Yep. Yeah, but, you should.
He's taken that basement sort of campaign into the presidency, and now he's going to take it back to the basement for 2024.
There you go. All right, folks. I will be on Jesse Waters' program this evening in the 6 p.m. Central hour, so make sure you tune in. I think tentatively we're set to talk about Hunter Biden and the drama in Arkansas. And in the meantime, sign up for Substack Chapter and Verse. And don't forget to find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.